So we'll return to the public session. Do I have a motion to return to the public session?
So moved, Rosalie.
Do I have a second?
Second, Santiago.
Okay, so we're moving. Welcome back to the Aspira of Delaware Charter Operations Board meeting. We're now going into the public session. So thank you everybody for participating. We'll take a quick look at the agenda. We have
you see it?
Yes, thank you. We'll have to so Luis, we'd like to maybe talk about an assessment, a proposal of the building. Are we ready to move into that action? And then we'll go into the agenda approval and meeting minutes and the rest of the agenda.
Yeah, so I'll make a motion to establish a committee that would include our current realtor, Tony Beliglio. I think that's pronounced his last name.
Beliglio.
Yep, that includes Tony to explore the potential acquisition of high school and come back to the board with a recommendation.
Any discussions? Do I have a second?
Second, Esparza.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion approved. Thank you, Luis, and good luck with that effort. Looking forward to see what's the outcome and come back to the board for, I guess, further dialogue and hopefully approval. We also have the agenda. I mean, the meeting minutes for our April meeting. I believe those were shared. Any updates?
I put them on the screen.
Yes, thank you. Any updates to the meeting minutes? So I would like to move, get a motion to approve both the agenda and meeting minutes as presented.
Motion move.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second, Eunice.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Perfect. Margie, we have the approval of the calendar. Should we go ahead and tackle that, and then we do the financial, and then we'll go ahead and then do the head of school report?
Sure. I had provided you with the calendar last month. You know, usually we discuss it in the April meeting. Actually, we usually discuss it in the March meeting. And it's due April 1st, but because of the pandemic, that was all pushed back, and so they're not due to DOE until June. We had decided to hold off because we wanted to see how things played out with the COVID-19 state of emergency, whether or not something would develop that would then cause us to maybe make some changes to the calendar. But at this time, we're not proposing any changes. We want to stick with the start date and the same breaks and the same events and the same end date that we had originally proposed. Obviously, all of us are going to be reevaluating that as the school year gets closer. But I think that we can at least stick to the calendar events. I also provided you the Excel document. I provided you is the school hour. So, you know, state regulations require that students complete 1,060 instructional hours during the school year. So in addition to the calendar, we have to provide that school hours document that shows that we're gonna hit that number. Obviously, what we do is we add some fluff in there to cover any inclement weather situations. And that way we don't have to make up those days. It's already sort of built in. Now, because the ninth grade, you know, high school, the one thing that's a little different about the high school calendar versus the K-8 calendar is that our ninth graders will have half days during midterm exams and half days during final exams. So there is a difference in the total number of hours that our ninth graders will complete versus our K-8 will complete. But either way, we have enough of a buffer. Obviously, it's a smaller amount of buffer for the ninth graders than it is for K-8. But at any given time, if something were to happen and, you know, we have more inclement weather days than we had anticipated, we can convert those half days to full days, and we actually then would be at the same point as the K-8. So I welcome any questions that you guys have about the calendar.
Margie, obviously the only issue here is, I mean, we're still depending on whatever guidance we get from the government in terms of starting points and things like that. So this is still, we approve, we support, but there's that caveat that we still need to understand.
Yeah, I think the calendar is pretty solid. I think it's a matter of whether what percentage of the school year will students be in the seat okay. in the school building versus learning remotely.
Okay.
But that's either fair. Way, the school days still count, right? Regardless of whether we do it remotely or whether we do it traditionally.
I guess that's fair. Mm-hmm. Just like we have continue the instruction mm-hmm. now.
Well, good. If there's not any questions, if there could be a motion to approve the calendar.
Yes. So do I have a motion to approve the calendar as presented?
So moved. Donald.
Thank you, Donald. Do I have a second?
Santiago.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you.
Calendar motion approved. Calendar motion passes. Calendar approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Greg, let's move on then to the financial report for April, please.
On to the exciting stuff.
Mm.
All right. So, I know we're at the end of May, but we're talking about April, which actually puts us at 83% through the year. Can everyone see that? Okay. Does it need to be larger? Is that okay?
Yeah, it looks
it's fine.
This page doesn't change. So I tried to highlight what we always talk about. So this is our revenue. Our state hasn't changed. We're still 104,000 over, which is great. 101%, 8.5 is the 8.5 million is a budget. We already have 8.6. It will change a little bit, believe it or not. We finally got some reimbursements for the Parental Leave Act that was put in place last year. So you'll see that reflected probably about $9,000 next month. So that's a positive. So the number is going to go up. For the local, our budget is 7.445 million. We have 7.2, 97%. But again, we're only at 83% of the year. We're doing just fine here. And then the federal, that hasn't changed. 1.43 million is a budget. We're at 1.469 or 35,000 over. And you know, this happens every year. I think I share with the team. Our federal grant gets adjusted through the year, and it starts at the government level and then it works down to the states. This year we got a little more than what was budgeted. So obviously that's a positive. So overall, our overall budget is 17.4 million. We're at almost 17.3. So it's interesting because, you know, as you know, I've been watching this closely since this pandemic hit. We're only $106,000 under what I projected. I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to finish over with revenue, which is unbelievable. Part of it is because of the CARES Act that we're going to be getting some more funds, $169,000, probably the last couple weeks of June, but it'll still count towards this year. And we've been getting some reimbursements because we're a licensed facility for extended care. So we actually get refunded for, remember I was telling you how we normally make about $7,000 a day by operating our school. So, you know, these are nice little caveats that have come out of all this stimulus package. So again, we're going to finish over for a year in revenue, which is unbelievable considering what I thought was going to happen in February and March. Scrolling down a bit. So, and I'll get into the detail like I always do. 17.26 million is our budget for expenses. At the end of April, we're at 14 million or 81%. Again, our target's 83%. Lewis pointed it out last month. We'll definitely see an increase over the last 2 months because the construction is basically finished. But there's no variances to report, so that's all good. Over here, we spent almost $1.5 million in April. Again, nothing to be concerned about. You see here, we still have a nice gap. But again, it's going to definitely shrink a bit the next 2 months. But again, we're nothing to be concerned about. And then there hasn't been any change in the local funding since about December. So we're still at 100% there. And then this last piece is the cash position, which considers the carryover money from last year, fiscal year 19. And then any encumbered money that we would have towards expenses, which as of April 30th, we had none. So at the bottom, you see we have all in 18.7 million as our revenue. The expenses are the same, a little over 14 million. We have about $4.7 million remaining, or we've spent 75%, which obviously is well below the 83% for the year. So again, it's all positive. This is a great report. As far as expense detail, as we always start with, again, the target's 83% or less. We always start with salaries, 6.449 million is a budget. We're at 5.489 or 85%. Other employment costs, OECs, 3.57 million is a budget. We're at almost 2.9 or 81%. Total travel, which includes the student transportation, 1.045 million is a budget. We're at 824,000 or 79%. I think I talked about this last meeting, but we're still continuing to pay our transportation contract. Remember, that was supported by the state. So the nice thing about this is the bus drivers are kept on staff, with the bus companies. So the goal is hopefully when we do start transporting students again, we don't add to that driver shortage that is across the state and all these drivers come back since we're getting paid. Total contracted services, 2.295 million's budget. We're at almost 1.4 or 61%, but this bucket will definitely increase May and June because our construction will come up into this line here, 55007. And then total supplies, materials, I didn't highlight it, but 908,000 is a budget. We're at 576,000 or 63%. And then total capital outlay equipment, 110,000 is a budget. We're at 63,000 or 58%. That will increase a bit too. And then total capital outlay property, 2.88 million is a budget. We're at 2.77. We're 96%. So grand total, again, the budget 17.26 million for expenses. We're a little over 14 million, 81%. So absolutely no concerns. You know, I crunch numbers all the time. I could present the May report right now, even though we haven't finished a month. I can tell you that I really believe we're going to end up with a carryover of probably about 1.5. If, again, you would ask me that in February or March, I would have said no way. We started out with a little over 1.4. Now, obviously, we're counting on that CARES Act money that's through a federal grant again to come in June, which we're going to finish that application on Friday. I looked at what I believe, with the construction, it's always timing the way the bills come in. So we won't be totally billed out in June for the whole job, even though job will probably tie out the punch list and all that in June. So we'll probably have about, I'm thinking 300,000 in that range that will hit next fiscal year. But again, that's just the way it works when, like almost every vendor, you always get billed the month after all the work is finished. So again, I feel a lot better this week knowing, again, everything that's happening in this CARES Act money just became available yesterday. So all in all, considering this pandemic, I think we're going to have a soft landing and and the construction job. I think I'll talk. Am I giving that update next or later, Lourdes? But anyhow, that's my financial report. Any questions?
I mean, it's great to see, how things are lining up. The truth is, though, for the next school year, there's still a lot of question mark about what new expenses are we to incur. So, yeah. I mean, it's great that we can close this school year where we are at, but I guess I'm still concerned about what does the next school year is going to bring. So,
no doubt.
Better to really finish on the high note and hopefully be able to have a little bit of cushion and be more ready for next cycle.
Agreed.
Any other comments or questions for the financial report? Do I have a motion for approval as presented?
So moved, Esparza.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Report approved. I guess next is really around the capital campaign. I'd like to share with the group that, you know, once again, we've been on really organizing around this effort and really, supporting this the growth of the high school. Because of the pandemic, we have put things on pause with the committee. We do have a schedule meeting on June 3rd to sort of bring the people together again and start coordinating and planning and continue to validate what is possible with still within the circumstances that we're managing right now. And we're really now hoping that come fall, we can kind of go back to the strategy of inviting people to the facilities. And at that point, it will be the actual high school building and those facilities that we can bring people to take a look at ultimately where they're going to be making the investment for further growth. So we'll be excited about that. And I guess that's kind of where we are. We're going to be taking a more active approach in terms of identifying possible grant opportunities at the national level, and hope that we can kind of align and be successful on some of those. So more to come in the next couple of months as we sort of reignite and reengage the committee, the capital campaign committee, to work on that. And as I said, officially launch this effort in the fall, because right now it sort of kind of put it on the back burner. Maybe related to that, Greg, if you can give us an update on the operations side. And actually, I did miss that we do not have the board membership discussion on the agenda. So that's an amendment to the agenda that we do have to add that topic of discussion. My apologies on that oversight. But Greg, give us the update, and then we'll get into the board discussion, and then we finish with the head of school report.
Sure. So I can't tell you how happy I am with the construction project overall. Today I was there. It's a lot different because I'm not there every day like I used to be. I went there today, and we did a virtual tour, I think 2 weeks ago, but I'm not even going to share it because I'm going to do another one. Now that all the coverings and the protective, gear, whatever you want to call it, is off the actual cabinetry, the floors, and all that. The school looks amazing. The colors are amazing. The attention to detail that the site coordinator, Scott Evans for Nolan, had was just, he's incredible and such a great man to work with. What a partner. But overall, the project, absolute success. Finished on time. We expect we'll have the C of O by, I think it might be Tuesday, but I'm going to tell you Wednesday. The next thing we're going to be doing is I've already, we've got furniture ordered. So we should have, I was sharing with Lourdes earlier, we will have full access starting June 8th. And what I mean by that is we obviously would have to social distance, but I will have the locksmiths there next Friday. They're already scheduled. I will have keys, everything. So we'll have total ownership. I'll be able to get people in and out. I can't even get in there right now because of the security systems and things like that. So I encourage you to contact me. I'm happy to meet anyone there. We would just have to be strategic. We can't have a large group, but anyone that wants to get into the school after or starting June 8th, just let me know, and I'll be happy to take you over there, because it's the term I use today, and maybe it's a bad term to use, but it's so much more grown up, and it should be, because it's a high school, and I love our K-8 school. But the colors that Margie and her team picked out, even the flooring, I couldn't get enough of it today. And you were going to be so pleased with it. So I'm not going to share the last virtual tour because I just don't think it does justice. I want you to see it for real, and you're going to be able to get in there. You just have to contact me, and you're going to love it. So I could speak all night about it, but it's just a great project. What a great company. Again, the professionalism, and no change orders from that side because they missed something.
Wow.
Again, everything you could ask for, we got it this time. So.
Hey, Ben, you were an instrumental part of this effort. You should make an appointment to go see it and before you go. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, sure. No, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah.
And then I will share this with you for anyone that wants to go. It doesn't have to be during the week. I mean, I'll meet anyone's needs, because I want anyone that wants to see it after June 8th, I'm going to give you the opportunity. So just reach out to me. Margie and I love to show our schools off.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, as I said, my hand is raised because I really would like to stop by. I think that will help me in terms of, you know, as I think about the capital campaign, you know, the more concrete we can make it for people, the better. So we're looking forward to that next video, that virtual tour that we can incorporate into the upcoming discussions that we will have. I think it's going to be important.
Absolutely.
Great, thank you for the update. So very quickly, as a addition to the agenda, board term and board membership. You know, we know back in March, Fred West resigned from the board due to relocation out of the area. And honestly, because of the pandemic, I had not necessarily taken an active role on replacing that position. In addition, around that time, also Ben indicated that also because of job relocation, he will be rotating off at the end of June. So I've been working with him in terms of looking for a replacement. We currently have two candidates that we'd like to bring for your consideration. We you know, depending how we feel, we certainly have an opening now, and we certainly know that we'll have another opening after the end of June when Ben will rotate off. In addition, we have a good handful of board members that their first 3-year rotation is finished, and people also have expressed an interest to rotating off. So Kristen Mayfield, that currently represents the PTO and the parent organization, will be rotating off. So I've been working with her and the PTO to find a replacement. I believe the PTO have already identified somebody, but we're kind of still doing the follow-up to make sure that the person indeed is available and will be willing to come in and join. And then Yonis also expressed an interest to be rotating off. So at the end of his term. So you know, once again, we'll have. Potentially a shorter of one, maybe two. So I'd be certainly, you know, looking for, you know, more nominations. So ideally we come out of the summer period with a full board again. I think it's going to be important, particularly as we start the growth and open the high school, but it's also our 10th anniversary. 10th year anniversary. So I think in order to continue to support the campaign at the level that we're at, the capital campaign, I think it would be important to reflect that we do have a full board in place. So I certainly would appreciate all your help in that regard. So Ben, I know that you've been wonderful on terms of denominations. So maybe we can speak with one the candidates, and then Luis and I can join, and then make a proposal. You know, and go through the approval process as appropriate. So Ben.
Sure. I mean, I'll just give a kind of a quick background of the two individuals that I identified and have kind of recommended, or kind of put in touch with Lewis. Is so first Marissa Terranova Fissel. She's someone I worked with at my previous job in Delaware. She holds sort of a leadership position at the, I guess, Delaware's largest law firm, at Richards Layton, and she works in the bankruptcy unit. But she's someone with an incredibly big heart. I've worked with her on several pro bono matters, namely immigration cases, actually, cases where children come to the United States, you know, without documentation and they're here with relatives. And so her and I had a number of clients together we worked on together where we were helping those children get legal status, or at least initial legal status, and using the court process in Delaware state courts and then going on to federal immigration court. And so that was something that Marissa was very key in helping me learn. Anyway, she's passionate about children. She's passionate about education. And I think she's all around a great attorney and someone who I think would have a lot to contribute to the board. And I just have the utmost respect and admiration for her. The other candidate who I've identified, I don't know as well, but we were in law school together. He's a bit younger, but he's still, you know, a bright attorney at a very prestigious Delaware firm. He works as a corporate litigation attorney, so working on some pretty complex matters before Delaware's Court of Chancery. I met him actually sort of a friend kind of introduced us. And when I was thinking about kind of rotating off and certainly wanting to put forward a name that would, you know, be a good service member, his came up because he himself has a Hispanic background and is passionate about issues that confront the Latinx community. And he's expressed an interest in being a more active member of the Delaware community. So I know Lourdes likes having someone on the board with sort of a legal background, legal perspective. And so here you might get two for the price of one.
Thank you, Ben. Luis, you had the opportunity to talk to both candidates. Anything you'd like to add, please?
Yeah, I'll say with the first candidate, Alberto, he actually lives like in my neighborhood. So we actually, that was the ironic part, which was kind of cool. But I do think, Ben, to your point, what I enjoyed our conversation was around was his passion, to serve the Hispanic community, which as we think about the population we serve, I think as a board, you know, in general, most of our students that come in, do come in with that background, and his passion to make sure ultimately all of our students have what they need, and his goal, he already had an idea of what he wanted to be engaged with, which I thought was impressive, in particular helping out with the PTO, figuring out how we can help support those relationships, the board and parent relationship, which I found to be, you know, just refreshing to just have one or two conversations and already know where you want to help make impact outside of obviously the legal background and those skills. So as we're getting into all these agreements, we at least know we have somebody on the board that could help us fight that fight. if the agreements go sour, I think makes sense. So from a skills perspective, I think a heart perspective, Ben, you're spot on. And then Marissa, what I can say is I think the most thing I was impressed with is it's really her commitment and level of commitment to anything that's put in front of her. She very much came off as somebody that if she said she was going to do something, she'll do it, and she's going to commit to it and follow it through. In the organization she was supporting, that dealt with children, she was even really helping at kind of the management committee level, you know, as a secretary. in diving deep into the organization, which I think is important for any board member, prospective board member, to be willing to do. So I think that's the kind of people we need on the board, outside, again, of the skill set piece. The commitment level from both were very intriguing, and I think very, you know, put them up as strong candidates, in my opinion.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know that, you know, two people from legal background might be overkill, but what was interesting to me was each of them brought something else in addition to that legal background. So I would not necessarily be opposed that both of them be considered. I guess the PTO connection did not surface in my conversation with Alberto, but certainly his level, his enthusiasm and his desire to serve was a very glaring, glaring in coming very strongly through the conversation. To me, Marisa is just the level of experience, and also she's being involved in development activities. So that was also, given where we are as an organization and what is in front of us in the near future, is something that was appealing to me. So for those of you that had the opportunity to take a look at the resumes, what questions do you have? My apologies for the thing that is.
Last thing, I'll just interject. It'd be great. I know, obviously, present circumstances, you know, notwithstanding, but at some point, giving them the opportunity to come and see, us, the school and the new high school when that's available. I think that would be great, if, assuming the board's comfortable with having them come on board. I just think that's, well, obviously, you know, again, once things normalize, if they do, but even before that, I think it'd be great to have them come and see the community, because I think it would be a great way to get them even more excited.
Oh, I agree. And I alerted both of them that would not have been the way that we would be conducting interviews. And as I mentioned earlier, after Fred, resign, I did not actively, you know, look for replacement, just because the environment was not necessarily conducive for me to be bringing anybody to the school. But absolutely, that certainly would be a given as soon as we have the flexibility to bring people to the school. Any comments or questions? Any other comments or questions? So we currently have one opening, and then Ben rotates off at the end of June. Jonas will rotate at the end of June, so we'll have two more openings then. So we feel good about both candidates. We can certainly vote on one effective immediately and vote on the other effective, you know, July 1st, if that's appropriate, or we just select the one.
Why don't we just go alphabetical, whoever's last name is alphabetical, go first, and then the other one just go second.
Sounds good. So Ben, do you mind making the proposal then?
Sure, I propose a motion to bring on board Marisa Terranova-Fissel and Alberto Chavez as new members of the Aspira Academy board, one to be effective immediately and the other to be effective as of July 1st of 2020.
We'll follow the alphabetical order recommendation.
Yes, again, we'll follow the alphabetical recommendation.
do we have a second for that proposal?
Donald, second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Oh, excellent. Thank you. Wow. This is very unique, but that doesn't mean that we're done, because remember, we still have other people that evaluating continuation or rotation, but might still be one short. So particularly after Jonas go on the end of June. And Jonas, are you looking for somebody that could replace you?
Yeah, I'm going to be asking a few people at UD.
Yeah.
We don't have to accept Giannis's desire to rotate off. You know, we can say no.
No, but one thing that is gonna that we're I'm certainly gonna miss is that we'll need to replace the role of the secretary. So that is an important role. Although, I mean, this day and age, with the fact that the meetings are recorded, it really becomes a very skeleton meeting minutes. Nevertheless, they need to be done. They need to be posted, and there's a timetable to that. So. I certainly would be asking current members if somebody willing to step up into that role. This is obviously very critical.
Great.
So, and with that, we move to the last agenda item. Margie, please, head of school report. Margie, are you on mute?
Yeah, I'm talking to myself over here. Hold on, let me just, I have lots of things open.
Oh, Greg, you might need to give her host so we could see her, if she's gonna share her screen. Ben, and you have one more meeting with us, because I mean, I certainly gonna miss you. And even today, the discussion, your perspective is really one that I value and treasure. So,
Well, that's appreciated, and I will say despite the circumstances, I have enjoyed the virtual meetings has made this possible.
Oh, so. I absolutely.
All right,
we don't quite see your screen yet.
You don't? Okay, let me try it again. Can you see it now?
It's a black screen.
It's a black screen.
Well, I see it, Mark.
You do?
Down at the bottom. Yeah, I see it.
I see it as well.
Really?
I see the screen is just, it's black. There's no, I mean, other than the Windows icons in the bottom, I don't see any.
Your mind is clear.
No, I see the document, the enrollment update document.
Oh.
I saw that a minute ago, but then it went away. And I'm like Ben, I have the black screen. So what happened?
I don't know how to. Okay. Well, I emailed it to you guys, so I'll just use it for talking points. But so we approved the calendar. As far as enrollment, we're continuing with the registration process. We did move a lot of it online, but it definitely does require some face-to-face process. So that is happening at the school. Lillian Meredith, who oversees that process, has done a great job of logistically planning it out so that we are adhering to social distancing, but getting the job done. And then we also started hosting virtual open houses. So we've had two so far. So every Tuesday at 1:00, you could help spread the word. Debbie and I are hosting the virtual open house and just prepare to sort of, you know, introduce people to our school. And, you know, if they're still debating what high school to send their child, it's a great opportunity for us to have that conversation. Unfortunately, we haven't had any new people attend our open house. It's been some of our already registered ninth graders. But we had met with we had separate meetings with our ninth graders, and those have gone really well. We do have a great group of students coming into our ninth grade class, and it is a good combination of aspirantes and then new students. But there, that's where we are with applications. And as far as the COVID-19 update, you know, there's really three things that we're juggling right now. We're wrapping up this school year. The marking period ends tomorrow, so grading will be completed. Instruction will continue to be, you know, remote learning will continue to happen through June 9th, which is the last day of school. But, you know, customarily you have to end the marking period sooner so that teachers have enough time to complete the grading, and we have report cards ready on the last day. We are going to have a few celebrations. The kindergarten celebration will be on June 8th. We're going to have the function in the parking lot, obviously also adhering to social distancing. But when we thought about, you know, the two groups of kids that we felt really needed to have some closure to the school year. It was our youngest, our kindergartners, and then our eighth graders. Eighth graders, we decided to postpone the graduation to July 30th, even with the recent announcement of being able to have outside gatherings of 250 people. We still are going to stay with the July 30th date. The family seem to have taken that well, and so we don't want to keep changing things around. So the last day of school for students will be on the 9th. For the team, it will be the 11th. And then the other thing that we've been juggling and debating about is what does summer learning look like? The first part is we always have this summer challenge, whether it's a reading challenge. You know, we usually focus on reading and math over the summer and try to find some creative ways to keep students engaged over the summer, give them something tangible to complete, and then make them accountable for completing it when they return the next school year. So this year we're trying this summer challenge, and a flyer went out to our families giving them that information. What's nice about the summer challenge is that students get to actually, they're going to decide what their goal is. You know, it's all very individualized. They decide what a goal is, and then they at the end are going to report whether or not they hit that goal. So for example, for a student that maybe is a struggling reader, is not really an avid reader, and struggles to maybe read for more than 20 minutes at a time, maybe the goal they set for themselves is to stretch themselves to read it for 45 minutes. So that piece of it is put in place. Then there was a lot of discussion, a lot of consideration about what to do with summer camp. And we just kept keeping our fingers crossed that the restrictions would be lifted in time for us to be able to have a face-to-face summer camp. But unfortunately, that's just not happening. The timing is just not coinciding with the start of camp, which would be June 15th. So unfortunately, we had to make the difficult decision to cancel summer camp. However, we will obviously, we'll be having ESY, which is extended school year, which for those of you that don't know, that is a requirement, accommodation that is part of some of our students with IEPs. So that will be done remotely. So that's what summer looks like. So now that we finally have figured out what's going on with summer, we now are now turning our full attention to what next year looks like. There's a lot of discussions that take place within the administrative team. Lourdes serves on a committee talking about reopening. As charter leaders, we meet every week with Kendall to talk about school reopening. And there's just a lot of questions more than answers. Even today during the town hall with our legislators, you know, our legislators don't have the answers either. So we're really gonna have to create like two plans, and plan A, plan B, and really be prepared for a portion of next year to be remote learning. We just don't know what percentage that's gonna end up being, whether it's gonna be more so in the beginning or whether it's gonna really hit us in the winter. We're not sure, but we really have to have our team prepare for that likelihood. So our priorities are number one, school safety, putting all the measures in place to make sure that our students are safe, our families, our team is safe, and then obviously addressing the learning gaps. As great as our team was in being able to pivot and turn on a dime with the remote learning, we know that it was not the same as traditional learning. So we are gonna have to assess where our students are when we start the school year, and we're gonna have to readjust our learning scope and sequence based on that. So that's where we are with the COVID-19.
So Margie?
Yep.
I can tell you they're way more computer savvy now than they were prior to this.
Yeah, really. You know, and think about it. I remember, you know, for me in my college courses, taking an online course was just out of the question for me because that's not the way I learned how to learn, right? Now I think if I was in college, I could take a couple of online ones. But, you know, our students, I mean, on the upside, they're going to be more prepared to have that flexibility going forward in college and in their careers. So we have to be prepared for that. So what we're going to be able to do this summer, I mean, the unfortunate thing is that we're not going to have camp and be able to give students that opportunity to have some social emotional time as well as some academic time. But the other, you know, the upside is that it's going to allow us to focus on just starting next school year, and putting all of putting everything in place so that we're prepared for both scenarios. The other thing, the culture and climate team, I just wanted to share with you, you know, that they've been engaged as well during this remote learning. And not only have they been supporting students, but they've also been supporting the team. The Team Appreciation Week or Teacher Appreciation Week fell during this time period in May. And it was really neat that our culture and climate team found a way to make that still very engaging. They found this resource. It was the game of games. And so every single day you would, you know, it was like a wheel of fortune. You would spin the wheel, you would have to do a certain thing. And it was all different types of stuff. You know, it was a video clip where you had to take a certain action. And it was really fun that those videos and those clips were shared with everybody. And then we had prizes. So, you know, there was some prizes at the end. So that went really well. And then we had Teacher of the Year. We'll be announcing that on June 3rd. So actually, Mr. Patton served on that committee to select our Teacher of the Year. And we're going to be surprising that teacher on June 3rd with a social distancing parade and celebration in her front yard. And then we'll be able to go public with it. And the process that we have as a charter school is that each charter school has the opportunity to designate a Teacher of the Year. And then those Teacher of the Years then compete to represent the Delaware Charter School Network. We only get one representative for all of Delaware Charter School Network. So the 24 charters have to basically choose one person to represent us. So we're hoping that our candidate gets to do that. We're excited about that. And that's it. Any questions?
Now, Margie, do let us know when you announce to the team. Maybe the board can follow up with a quick email to the teacher, please.
Sure. We'll send you a video clip.
I think it's something fundamentally wrong with that process that only allows one person to come out of 24 schools when every school in the state of Delaware, public school, quote unquote, can have a representative, but you're saying for charter schools, you have to reduce 24 down to one. There's something wrong with that.
I agree. And that's why for many years, the charter schools actually didn't participate in Teacher of the Year. So, you know, we have not participated consistently every year that the program has existed. Now, you know, lately we've been trying to sort of get back into it and you know, hopefully, maybe at some point when if we win the state level, then and things change in the department where charter schools are given the same, I guess, recognition as the districts, hopefully, you know, tides will change. But, you know, we've always participated, even though some of our peers have chosen not to. It is a difficult process, as Mr. Patton, as you know. And the nice thing is that we have an amazing group of teachers, and it's a difficult process. And I think one of the reasons I know that, you know, Greg Meese for many years chose not to participate is, you know, his stance was that all of his teachers are Teacher of the Year. And I agree. Yeah, you know, you can definitely take that stance. But I think what we saw from the survey from our own team is that they were asking for more recognition. And this was very well received, that we put together a process. There's a nomination process, there's a selection process, you know, and they want that. So even as difficult as it is for us to select one winner, they appreciate the process.
Well, I mean, in some instances, sometimes just the fact that you were nominated is recognition enough for people. So
exactly.
But yep. I mean, doesn't take away, Mr. Patton, your point. Every other school gets their own representative, and we just have to, have the one for the entire network. But, you know, and nevertheless, I think that, you know, maybe it's an opportunity for, you know, Kendall to have the opportunity to highlight all of them at our own network events.
At our IDA awards, exactly. That's correct. What inspired the IDA awards, is that we needed to sort of have our own recognition vehicle. But yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And they do get all of them get recognized then, but so it's just an opportunity to have that. So any other comments or questions for Margie from the Header School report? Okay, so we're coming to the end of our meeting. You know, once again, board, I so much appreciate all of you, all of your participation, given still the conditions. Interestingly, as Ben indicated, it had allowed maybe higher level participation, even for those that otherwise the commute would have been a potential derailer or avoidance of participation. So thank you. Lots of discussion, lots of things going on, and more honestly, more to come. So look forward for further updates in the June meeting. And as I said, we'll continue to revisit our board composition and work through the summer, make sure that we finish with a full, you know, functional board, just like we had for the last several years. So thank you. Thank you so much for all your that you're due for the children and for all your support. Very much appreciated. So with that, I need a motion to adjourn.
Motion, Ms. Barza.
Do I have a second?
Second, Rosalie.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Enjoy the rest of your evening. Thank you so much for your participation.
Have a blessed one.